Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the hashtag Celtics podcast. The streak has officially ended. Not the Celtics win streak, though. The Spurs win streak over our Boston Celtics. We had a beautiful win yesterday, 108-92. This is the first time since March 2011, when Jason Tatum was only 13 years old, that the Celtics have defeated the Spurs. I am your host, Christopher Tyler. On the other line, Jimmy Brown. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Just happy to be a Celtics fan right now. It doesn't seem like it can get any better. Not only are they winning, they're playing great basketball. They're beating good teams. You know, we want to almost temper our expectations, but for right now, loving life, and it's great to be a Celtic.
Do we just officially witness a bit of a changing of the guard? Is Stevens officially the new Pop, or are we getting a bit too ahead of ourselves? Look, everyone loves Stevens, and he's been a guy who's been touted as kind of that next generation of superstar coaches, I guess he probably still is that at the moment. Is there a changing of the guard going on in the NBA at the moment from a coaching perspective?
Well, yes, that's probably a bit much, but that's what we do as Celtics fans. We always a bit much, especially when it comes to basketball and how things work here in Boston. And I don't see why it's that much of a stretch. Now, I mean, you can argue, you know, San Antonio were missing a lot of their players. Tony Parker, Kawhi Leonard was out. Manu Ginobili, he rested. So you get it. I mean, we can say that it was maybe a win without some credentials, but I think from a team standpoint and from what we're trying to accomplish as Celtics and what we're trying to do as far as getting over the Hayward injury and thinking if not only we can win, but even though we had a win streak, we weren't necessarily getting the credit for winning because they were saying we weren't beating the teams just yet. To me, this is a win that's not only important for Stevens, someone who couldn't beat Pop, oh, by the way, but for this team who's still young, who's still trying to find their presence, who are still trying to come together as a team on the floor. This is one of those wins you kind of look back at as, yeah, that's when people started realizing the Celtics were going to be okay without Hayward. That's when people started realizing the Celtics were going to be contenders. So, yes, I don't think it's too early to say Stevens is one of the future great minds in the NBA because he's been known for a lot of things, not only adjusting and inbounds plays, but the guy seems to do everything. So I don't think it's too much, but I really think this win against the Spurs was one that we're going to remember for a while.
Yeah, and like you said, obviously the Spurs didn't do it with a lot of their star players, but we did it without Gordon Hayward as well. And you could even probably throw in Marcus Morris, who we don't know whether he's going to be a starter yet, but you'd say that he's at this stage of his career and at this stage of Manu Ginobili's career and Tony Parker's career, he's probably more beneficial to the Celtics than those two players are to the Spurs. So, you know, those two losses for the Celtics, or those two players, they're a decent loss. And the fact that we could still get over the line, like you said, with such young players, is fantastic for Coach Stevens and fantastic for the team. And Pop did say about Stevens after the game, who, by the way, he's been a rep for Stevens for a long time, but he did say after the game that Stevens is a very special person both on and off the court. He's very intelligent, and intelligence is fine, but if it doesn't come along with incisiveness, judgment, and an emotional maturity, it doesn't do you much good. He has all of those things, and that's large. Not many people have that. It shows in the way he handles people and the way he coaches. He's going to be a great coach before it's all over with, and he's already a hell of a coach. That's some big props from one of the best coaches that we've seen in a very, very long time, and it just solidifies what we Celtics fans have been pretty much saying and preaching to the rest of the NBA since Brad Stevens essentially came to Beantown.
Well, and, you know, I think it's important to note that coaching obviously is not only a difficult profession, but you see and read, all you read about is coaches being fired or on the chopping block or getting ready to be fired, whether it's Phoenix already firing Earl Watson or the Knicks getting ready to fire coaches, or you just hear about it all the time. It's comfortable to not hear that from a franchise, especially the Celtics, because you're trying to build something. So to have that not be a problem for your team is a big thing. But what I really like is the fact that when players come to this team, they check their egos. To me, it means a lot for a coach to be able to deal with egos, especially in the NBA, which are very big egos, and get them to play together. And we've seen it numerous occasions with Stevens, and I've brought it up before, the Al Horford, who's not an ego kind of guy, but he was the kind of guy that was used to scoring more than he was dishing the ball and dropping dimes with assists, and that's all he did last year. And now this year, you're getting a team to get together and play defense. And I think that's really why they're winning basketball games right now. Defense really works early in the season as offenses start to gel. And if you can play defense, you're going to win basketball games. And through seven games, the Celtics have the best defensive rating in the entire league. They're allowing just 95.6 points per 100% possessions, and that's amazing. But where I really think it shows is a guy like Kyrie Irving. When he was playing in Cleveland, nobody even talked about his defense. I mean, they thought he was a good defender, but it was all about points. It was all about being LeBron's right-hand man. He's got 17 steals, more than any other player in the NBA. So to me, to be a good coach, you have to get the players to buy into your system. You have to get the players to believe. And when they start doing that, check the egos at the door, you're going to start getting wins. And that's exactly what the Celtics are getting right now.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. This is a guy who wasn't known for his defense in Cleveland. That's not to say that he couldn't play defense. He was just a little bit too lazy when he was playing for Cleveland. It was all about the offensive side of the basketball rather than the defensive side. And the fact that Brad can actually get him to buy into the team culture is really big. And he said after the game, he was talking to the media after the game, and he essentially said, they have a team-oriented vibe and culture here, and I had to adjust my individual talents to the greater good of the group, and I feel like it's going better than I ever expected because of the guys in the locker room. And then Abby Chin, who's the Celtics sideline reporter, asked about whether that adjustment related to playing defense the way that Brad Stevens expects. And Kyrie responded by saying, I mean, we have a system. He does a great job of putting a great game plan together for us, which I guess sounds like another shot at Cleveland, essentially saying we actually have a system here. We actually know what we're doing. And Coach Stevens finds a way to relate to these guys and gets them to buy in. So massive props to Kyrie for actually buying into the system, and massive, massive props to Coach Stevens for actually being able to get someone like Kyrie to, like you said before, check your ego at the door and play that team-oriented style of basketball that we haven't really seen from Kyrie since he's been in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I think is impressive about Stevens, among other things, obviously, is he grabs a player like Kyrie Irving, who you can argue is already an all-star player, who you can argue doesn't need much changing, and he finds a way to make him even better. And not only that, you know, in the NBA right now, it's a lot of flash, it's a lot of scoring points, it's even a lot of ISO basketball at points. And we have players like that. I mean, it's obvious to me, a guy like Jaylen Brown, he can play ISO basketball all the time, and you see flashes of it when he's playing basketball, where he will be the guy that takes over the game, not passing the ball, but just really going to the hoop. And that's needed. But I think it's great how Stevens has that reined in, how Stevens allows the players to do it, have the option to do it, but at the same time, it's all about being tough. It's all about being gritty. It's all about working on the defensive side of the basketball to get plays on the offensive side. And that's really what they're doing. Now, I want to see it translate. And what I mean by that is it's awesome to get on this win streak. We know it's a long season. We know this is something, the win streak that won't last too long, although I will enjoy it as well as it does, or as long as it does, rather. But what I'm looking forward to is these next couple games, right? They have a game against Sacramento, which could be a very easy look-pass spot after beating the Spurs, and you've got Oklahoma City on deck. But you've got three road games, at Oklahoma City, at Orlando, who's surprisingly well this year, and at Atlanta. This is where I want to see the team. They can't lay down against a team like Sacramento, who they should easily beat. And then they got to get ready for a three-game stretch. These are the kind of stretches where your team will get challenged for one reason or another. And again, this is where coaching comes into play. You have to get these players ready every single night. And that's tough. That's why they used to rest players all the time. Now they're not supposed to. So I want to see how he puts it all together for this next little set of games that's coming up.
Yeah, that's exactly what we struggled with last year. We'd get a big win over someone like the Golden State Warriors, and then we'd be playing the Knicks the day after, and then we ended up dropping it. So the fact that, if, like you said, that we can actually get these guys to buy in every single night and play hard, depending on, like, regardless of who we're playing, that's going to go a long way in determining how well we go, even though the East is relatively weak. That could be the difference between finishing top four and finishing fifth to eighth. But I think the difference between last year and this year is the fact that a lot of these guys like Al Horford, Aaron Baines even, Daniel Tice, Semi Ojeleye, are all playing fantastic defensive basketball, all doing their part to control the paint. We've seen like the last couple of days, Semi Ojeleye, or the last couple of games rather, Semi Ojeleye has been fantastic, being able to defend guys like Rudy Gay last night. He really shut him down. His lateral quickness is phenomenal. Daniel Tice is a blocks machine. Aaron Baines, I love the way how he pretty much keeps his hands up when he's defending. You see a lot of these big guys who try to come down on the ball and end up committing fouls. Aaron Baines is one of the best players that I've seen in the NBA avoid fouls while in the paint and still finishing off with a block. And he can pull down a board as well. This is one of the best rebounding Celtics teams that we've seen for a few years as well. Not only is it Al Horford, but Aaron Baines and Semi Ojeleye and Jason Tatum, who we mentioned last week wasn't much of a rebounder or wasn't projected to be much of an NBA rebounder coming out of college, but he has really done his part. Even if he's not scoring the basketball, he's really getting the defensive rebound. So you've got those guys in the paint, and then other guys like Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and like you said, Kyrie Irving, really defending well on the perimeter as well. The effort that these guys go to every day far outweighs, I think, the defensive capabilities of last year's team and the defensive... I don't know what the word I'm trying to look for is. The tenacity, I guess, of last year's team. And it seems like they don't really have an off switch. And if they can prove that this is a night-by-night thing rather than every now-and-then thing, that's going to be huge for the team.
Well, and that's key. Because, look, for a season as long as it is, there's going to be nights where people struggle, whether it's shooting, whether it's defense, where they struggle. And so you want to have that depth where you can call on these role players to come in and fill the gap. And to me, you can get anybody in the NBA to shoot, but it's hard to get everybody to go after the loose balls. It's hard to get players to work on the defensive end, or as you mentioned, the rebounding. And that's why, you know, I was talking to you during the last Celtics game, and I was telling you how much I love their grit and how they're going after it. And that's what I find amazing. And you brought up Jason Tatum, had 11 rebounds against the Spurs. He's averaging 7 per game. That's among, of course, the top 5 rookie rebounders in the league. So you get a young guy, and you don't say go out there and shoot lights out. You say go out there and get those boards. Go out there and get those extra shots. Get us the rebounds. That's what Baines is doing, getting us those second chances. And that's what I like, because if you remember in the offseason, which was a busy one for us, we were very excited about all of our acquisitions. But we worried when we lost guys like Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley, at least I did. Not only do I love those guys from a chemistry standpoint, but they were defensive-minded guys. So the key was, hey, who's going to pick up the slack on defense? Who's going to help us out? Then you have a guy like Semi Ojeleye. You brought him up. The guy's a monster. So he's guarding Porzingis. He's guarding the Greek Freak. And like you said, he shut down Rudy Gay, who was shooting lights out. And that's not the kind of guy that's going to get headlines for making defensive plays like that. But that's what the Celtics really appreciate. And to me, that's how you start winning. Start playing great defense, start playing as a team, and the sky's the limit. And that's the case for the Celtics squad.
And you mentioned it before about how players can have off nights, but that really goes just for the offensive end. When you don't really have off nights on the defensive end unless it's just about effort, unless you just don't come with the amount of effort that you're expected to come with. So we're seeing so far this season, and this is what I love, where guys get off to a slow start offensively and might miss a couple of shots, like Jaylen Brown against the Bucks the other night where he went 0 for 8 to start off the game, but his defensive effort was still there, and that's the most important thing, because you can control every single game how well you go defensively. You might not be able to... make sure that your offensive game is exactly where it needs to be. Sometimes shots just don't fall, but that's not how it worked defensively. And we saw, this is one of the things that I loved in the game last night, is the fact that our closeouts were phenomenal. Whenever Spurs tried to shoot a three, there was a player there wanting to contest it, which is fantastic. And in the first 7 games, we're one of the best, if not the best team in the league for defending the three. It goes to show that these guys want to play with effort every single game. And even if their offense isn't there, again, Terry Rozier last night got off to a slow start, starting 1 for 9, but his defense was still there. The hustle was still there. The drive was still there. And that's fantastic to see from these guys. And I think that's, again, a lot of the reason why we're going to see this team succeed and exceed expectations that we had after Gordon Hayward went down.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times over the years I've watched a Celtics team, and there's been a moment where they would go to the bench to rest their starters, and you would almost be ready for the letdown because the players that were coming in weren't as good or wouldn't work as hard. But now it seems like they have a mix where you almost don't have that letdown, and sometimes you actually get the spark, and that's what happened. You mentioned Rozier. That's what happened with him last night. I mean, they had a pretty decent lead, and then he pretty much took over the game. And that would have been a point where maybe you'd bring in a guy like Rozier and just go, all right, do me a favor, just hold the lead, you know, or keep it close, or do what it takes, but not build on it. And the team and the players that were bringing in that late are actually building on that lead. They're actually, and if you watch the bench, I watched the bench last night when Rozier was blowing up, and they were going crazy. They had a huge lead, but they were going bananas because they just loved the fact that he was playing so well. And to me, that's how you can tell that team is coming together. And now all of a sudden you get a guy like Marcus Morris, who's been working on that right knee with the developmental league with the team today. You start seeing how he figures into the mix, and it seems like you're only going to get better. The thing I'm going to watch or try to pay attention to is supposedly, and the Celtics have never had a problem with it, they're not going to rest a lot of players this year. The league has tried to help with the schedule, make it easier to navigate, and I believe they will. However, I really want to see how the Celtics keep the rotation fresh or even give their starters some rest time to keep fresh, because it's a long season. And look, we're high in the Celtics now, and I'm a Celtics fan. I'm going to be high in the Celtics all season. But to me, I really want to see his management. I really want to see how they develop with Marcus Morris in the lineup, and I really want to see how they handle these next three games with the break against the Kings, which could be a letdown, and then those road games, because I'm, like you, very excited about this season, and I really want to pull the reins a little bit and relax, because I'm telling you right now, there's no doubt in my mind that right now the Boston Celtics are the best team in the East.
Yeah, well, they're on top at the moment, so let's hope that that form kind of continues for the rest of the season. But what you were going on about the amount of minutes or the freshness of the starters, the good thing is no one in yesterday's game played over 30 minutes. Even Kyrie Irving, who had a phenomenal game, and he seems to be getting better game by game. Offensively, his game's just getting so much more comfortable. We saw the first couple of games where the Celtics had two losses. He didn't really seem like he knew what he was doing out there, but now he's got his three-point game going. His passing is phenomenal. I think this is some of the best passing that we've seen from Kyrie Irving for a long, long time. And you know, he still scored 24 points in 30 minutes last night, and that's kind of what you want from these guys. And a lot of the reason why we can afford to get to have these guys only play 30 minutes a game or 34 minutes a game or however long it is because there's so many players on this team that are just fun to watch and know what to do and want to play team basketball. This is the deepest team and the most fun team as well that we've had for a very long time. You get guys like Semi Ojeleye coming in, like Abdul Nader coming in, Terry Rozier, Shane Larkin, even Yabusele for a couple of minutes towards the end, they're hitting a three. These are all guys that can come in and do their part and play really fundamental basketball. And it allows the starters to get the rest that they might not otherwise have had. Last season, like you mentioned before, whenever the starters went off, whatever lead we had might have dissipated. But this year, I can't see that happening as much. Obviously, when I have any superstar players beyond, you know, the top two or three in the team, but there's a lot of solid role player guys who are really solid role players. So that's the thing that I've enjoyed the most out of this season so far. They're just a really fun team and really scrappy team to watch.
Well, and that's the best part about it, because as those guys develop or as these guys do better, it gives Stevens more flexibility. Not only can he give them more and more minutes off the bench, he can even mix up the starting lineup, get them in there as starters, or extend them if they're playing well. So if they come in and they give a boost to it and they're doing well at that time, you don't have to necessarily pull them out as early to bring in that starter. And look, depth is great. We all know when they go to the playoffs, the bench is shortened a little bit. So this is your chance to figure out who those go-to guys are the ones you want to call on in crunch time. And that's why I think we're actually very fortunate right now to be able to rotate all these guys in, to be able to see who fits best, especially on defense when you're looking at some of these lockdown defenders or some of these rebounders that'll make the difference in a crunch game that really matters.
I'm just wrapped that we're seeing guys like Semi Ojeleye contributing so well so early on. This was a guy that I was incredibly excited about when he fell to us at 36 in the draft. Obviously, I was excited about Tatum as well, but because we already kind of knew that we were going to get Tatum, it wasn't as big of a surprise on draft night. And when we did draft Semi Ojeleye, I think I told you and I told a couple of other Celtics fans as well, I'm like, this is the guy to look out for. He is going to provide some big time minutes for us. Defensively, he's fantastic. He's the 3-and-D guy that you want to have on your team. And the fact that he had a slow start to the season but has now come on and felt a bit more comfortable in the system is massive for him. But I do want to touch on Tatum for a little bit as well. What did you think of his performance last night? He only took three shots in the first three quarters and only seven for the game. I don't think that's enough for someone as talented as he's proven to be in the first six games of the season. This was his lowest points total so far since he's been a Celtic. Like I said, he still got the job done on the boards, but it wasn't quite there points-wise. What do you think of the fact that he seemed a little bit timid to shoot for some reason last night?
Well, I'm hoping, and again, this is me being optimistic, that was maybe more of him realizing that if he doesn't have a shot he likes, he doesn't have to take it. That he doesn't have to be the guy to carry the load. Obviously, that'd be Kyrie Irving, but they've got so many other players on this team that can score. I'm hoping that he was looking at it saying, I don't have the shot, let's go, and let's still play hard on the boards, which he did, obviously, and let's still get a win. That, to me, would speak more volume in a day and age where the NBA is all about scoring and it's all about getting all that press. If I can look to the flip side and comment on what you said, maybe he was timid. Well, that comes with growth in the NBA, and that's where coaching comes into play. And I think that also says a lot. And that brings me back to the draft that you talked about. You're right. We all knew or at least assumed Tatum was going to be all right, but it's these later draft picks that are already paying off. And again, that not only goes to Danny Ainge in the front office, but that also includes Stevens. You know, to bring it back to one, so to speak, not only does he do a great job in coaching, but he does a great job working with the front office and getting the personnel that not only is talented, but the ones that fit his system. And it seems like when he gets the pieces he needs, he can win with a lot of talent, which is what he has right now. And that's important to note on, too.
Spot on. And in more recent news as well, just before we finish up, the Celtics today picked up the 2018-19 team options for Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown. No surprise there, Jimmy?
No, none at all. In fact, you know, Jaylen Brown, he seemed like he was mentioned in every trade rumor since we got him, and they've never let him go. So there's no doubt in my mind that they like what they see and they want to keep him around. And same goes for Rozier, who's obviously looking good. In fact, you know, I'm already reading that, you know, they're excited that he could be the next guy to take over the starting role and allow the Celtics to move other pieces. So no doubt in my mind, we got the younger people and they want to lock him in for our future.
Yeah, obviously, both those guys have been mentioned in trade rumors for people such as Anthony Davis, as well as Kyrie Irving and a couple of other guys as well. We knew from the last couple of years the Celtics have pretty much been linked to everyone. And like you said, Jaylen Brown's one of these guys that has been touted as a potential trade piece for a long time, but he's having a phenomenal season. The second leading scorer on the team so far this season with 15.4 points per game. Relatively inconsistent, but getting more consistent as the season goes on. He's gonna be a very important part of this team. Like we said, as soon as Hayward went down, when that happened, his role increased and he had to step up and prove that he was capable of playing like he is now. And the fact that he is just great news for the Celtics. And Terry Rozier may not be there just yet, but he shows something. Every single game, whether it's a steal or a dunk or something, he's very explosive and he's fun to watch. He has some terrible misses as well. I think he had about four misses in like 30 seconds or something like that yesterday. But he can really turn it on when he wants to as well. So both of these guys should be key centerpieces for the team for the next however many years, and they're definitely worth holding on to. Is there anything else that you want to touch on before we finish off the show, Jimmy?
No, just to reiterate that I'm excited about the season. I love what they're putting out, and I can't wait to see what comes next.
I'm with you, man. Let's hope, like we mentioned before, that they can actually get up for that Sacramento Kings game and not kind of erase the good form that they've created over the last five games. So fingers crossed for the Celtics there. Mate, where can we find all your stuff? Where can you find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter @ChasingBallGame.
And you can find me @ChristosTyler. Until next time, go Celtics!